Yeah, we'll start over. As I will say, good morning. So I want to thank Sayyid and Sima Haken for dedicating the shir in honor of the Anana V'yamin Le'oroim. For Shema Fakol Chola Yisrael and Halavai Achasim Atova for all of Klal Yisrael as well. All right, so let's begin. Today's daf is daf ayin. We are starting from the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Me'ima Sai Chayiv. So remember, again, we're speaking about Ben Sorer Umora. We're speaking about, again, as the Mishnah already introduced us to, the rebellious son. And now the Mishnah is going to begin to get into some of the mechanics concerning this particular halacha. So Me'ima Sai Chayiv. At what point in time does a boy actually become a Ben Sorer Umora? What does he have to do in order to become Ben Sorer Umora? Mishayochal Tartimar Basra. As soon as he eats a tartimar, and we'll discuss exactly how much that is, but as soon as he eats a tartimar of meat, and he drinks chatzi lug yain ha'italki, a half a lug of Italian wine. Rabbi Yossi says, mana basar v'lug yain. Rabbi Yossi says, no, he has to eat a mana of basar, a mana of wine, and a lug of wine, a mana of meat, and he has to drink a lug of wine. Achol bechaburas mitzvah. If, however, let's say, as the Gemara is going to explain this, let's say you have a situation where the boy steals the money and he goes in and he purchases the wine, he purchases the meat, but he ends up eating it with what the Mishnah calls a chaburas mitzvah. Rashi says over bechaburas mitzvah, it's the third wide line from the top. It says besuudas mitzvah. He eats it, let's say again, in the context of a suudas mitzvah. It's an interesting case. So he steals money to purchase meat, to purchase wine, but he ends up eating it like as part of a siyum, as part of a suudas mitzvah. So what's that? So the halacha is, and we're going to see there's a whole list of situations where he doesn't qualify as ben sorer umora. Or achal b'ibar achodesh, or as we'll see in the Gemara, they used to make a suuda when they would go ahead and they would extend the month, make it an ibar chodesh, which means again, they'd add on an extra day to the month. So they would have a suuda when they would make that declaration, or achol ma'aser sheni b'Yerushalayim, or if he ends up eating it as ma'aser sheni b'Yerushalayim, or achol nevelos and treifos, or if he ends up eating nevelos and treifos, or shkatzim v'ramasim, all type of non-kosher items, or achol tevel ma'aser rishon shlo nitlo trumaso, or if he ate tevel, which is untithed items, or ma'aser rishon shlo nitlo trumaso, or ma'aser rishon from which truma has not been removed, Umaiser sheni behektish shalom niftu, or maiser sheni or hektish that have not been redeemed. Achol davar shu mitzvah, but davar shu avera. If he eats something that is a mitzvah and an avera, again we'll discuss in the Gemara what exactly that is. Achol kol maichol velo achol basar, or if he stole money to purchase any kind of food items, but it wasn't meat. Or shasa kol mashke velo shasa yayin, or he stole money to purchase drink, but it wasn't wine. They both say in all of these cases, Eino na'asa ben sorer umora. So we'll say in all of these situations, in that entire list that we just read, so any of these situations, if he stole money and ate meat and drank wine, or stole money and purchased these other items, so he would not become a ben sorer umora. Eino na'asa ben sorer umora, achi yocha basar. And I will say, bottom line is that he only becomes a ben sorer umora if he goes in and steals money to purchase meat, to eat, and he eats meat and drinks wine. Shene emar zolel visove. Because I will say, when the pasuk describes the ben sorer umora, this is actually, again, this is the speech that the parents make to the Sanhedrin. The parents say, va'amru al zikne iro, benenu ze sorer umora, enenu shome bakolenu zolel visove. So we'll say, zolel visove means he's gluttonous. He's gluttonous. So how do we know that gluttony refers to meat and wine? Va'afapi shein ra'i ledover. Even though, again, we have no explicit proof. Nevertheless, zecher ledover. Ultimately, again, we have a scriptural allusion. What's the scriptural allusion? Shene emar, al tihi bisove yayin u'bizolele baser lamoch. As we'll say, the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, do not be among the ones who sate themselves of wine and who are gluttonous with meat. So you see again the lashon of zolel and sove ultimately refers to meat and wine. So says the Gemara. We'll say second wide line, ayin amad alef. Am Rabbi Zeira. Tartimar ze in yodea maus. So we'll say Rabbi Zeira comes along and says the following. Remember, we have machlokis in the Mishnah as to the shiurim of meat and wine that would make a child chayiv. Now again, I'm using child, but as we established already in yesterday's daf, or really actually in 2 days ago, that ultimately, again, this is talking about a boy who is over bar mitzvah, but just over bar mitzvah. So the Gemara, so Rabbi Zeira says over here, we have machlokes in the Mishnah about how much meat and wine this young man has to eat and drink. So the first opinion said a tartimar of meat and a half a lug of wine. Rabbi Yossi says a mana of meat and a lug of wine. So Rabbi Zira says tartimar ze any of the amount. I don't know how much a tartimar is. I don't know what this amount is. Elu mitoch shekaf Rabbi Yossi behind, but since Rabbi Yossi seems to double the shiurim of the Tanakama, nimsa kofel af bebasar. So we'll say Rabbi Yossi, one thing we know is Tanakama said half a lug of wine, and Rabbi Yossi said a whole lug of wine. So it appeared that Rabbi Yossi is doubling the shiurim. So now that I know that he's doubling the shiur of wine, bepashlus, he's doubling the shiur of meat also. So kofel af basar, v'nimtzar tartimar chatzin mana. Therefore, we'll say it turns out that a tartimar, because Rabbi Yossi holds that he has to steal enough money to purchase a mana of meat, which would seem to tell us that what? That a tartimar is a half a mana of meat. Amar Rav Chanan bar Molda, Amar Rav Huna, Eino Chayiv, Achikach Basar Bezol, V'yochal Yayin Bezol V'yishnah. This is actually another very interesting statement. Rav Huna comes along and says that the Ben Sorar Umora is only Chayiv if he purchases meat at a discount and if he purchases wine at a discount. Now this is not like a din in being Jewish. This is actually very interesting. But say, look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Yayin Bezol, Aval biyoker lo shchichi le maos lignov kulehai v'lo mamshech. Rabosa, listen to this. What's the issue of Ben Sorar Umora? As we've already seen, Ben Sorar Umora is executed based not on what he's done, but based on what we are concerned he will become. Meaning that someone who is so gluttonous at such a young age, Chazal felt, ultimately is going to kill people, steal from people, whole variety of things in order to support his habits. It's actually very interesting. So the Gemara therefore says the following. The only thing we have to be concerned about is if we see that he's purchasing meat and wine at a discount. Because if he's finding it cheap, then that is a supportable habit. If on the other hand, he's paying retail, you know, if at the end of the day, he's going ahead and he's purchasing at full price, this is not a sustainable lifestyle. Because even as a thief, even if he's going to rob people, you know, thievery or theft is only going to get him so far. If he doesn't know how to find it cheap, he won't be able to sustain it. Therefore, interestingly enough, from Chanasin and Rav Huna, that it's only if he's buying meat and wine at discounted prices. Dechsev, zolel v'sove. So this is actually a little bit of a play on words. Because the pasuk says zolel v'sove, which Rashi is pointing out over here is zol, a lashon of cheap. So we define, it really, literally means gluttony. But also the shorosh over here is the same for cheap. Okay. So the Gemara v'arach hanan bar molda, amar Rav Huna, eino chayv at sheyochal basar, chay, v'yishte yayin chay. Furthermore, Rabbi Yossi, Rav Chanan says, name of Rav Huna, that the Ben Sorar Umora is only chayiv if he eats basar chay. Basar chay means raw meat, and yayin chay means undiluted wine. So we're going to define what this means in just a moment. So the Gemara Sini, is that so? Vaha Rabba Rav Yossi Tamar Tavayu, Achol basar chay v'shasa yayin chay, eino nasa Ben Sorar Umora. But yet, again, Rabbi Yossi, we have on record that Rabbi and Rav Yossi both said that if the Ben Sorar Umora eats raw meat or drinks undiluted wine, he's not a Ben Sorar Umora. In other words, if the boy drinks undiluted wine or raw meat, that doesn't make you a Ben Sorar Umora. Ravina said, no, this is what it means. Yayin Chai, what does he mean when he says that the Ben Sorar Umora is Chayiv for undiluted wine? Mazik velo mazik. What say means that it's diluted, but not diluted in the right proportions. Basar Chai, raw meat means bashal velo bashal. It's cooked, but not cooked enough. Ki basar kiba da achli ganvi. Like kiba meat, like basar kiba, that thieves eat. So basar Rashi points out, thieves, if one thing that a thief doesn't have the luxury of, usually it's time, he's eating on the run. So how would thieves often cook their meat? They would go ahead and essentially they would char it, so that the outside would become charred, but the inside was raw. This was called thieves' meat. So we'll say, see, interestingly enough, the Gemara says over here, he's only a Ben Sorar Umora. Same thing with diluting the wine. They didn't have time to dilute in normal measures. So they diluted a little bit to make it basically drinkable. They charred the meat to make it basically edible. So the idea, we'll say, this whole idea of Ben Sorar Umora is that the child only becomes a Ben Sorar Umora if he demonstrates what we'll call sustainable negative behaviors. So meaning, if he needs to eat fully cooked meat, then the truth is, he's not going to have a future in a life of crime. Because a thief doesn't have the luxury of eating fully roasted meat. If he needs to have his wine perfectly diluted, he's not going to have a future in thievery, because lamaisa, again, a thief doesn't have that luxury. So it's only if he engages in the behaviors like a thief. So he's eating the scorched meat. I don't know if that's the right culinary term, but you understand what I mean. It's scorched on the outside, but it's raw on the inside.
Seared.
Thank you. Seared meat. Thank you. Why is she? Oh, yeah. Right? So, I'm not going to ask how you know that. I'm sorry. Oh, Sean Fells? Okay. Fine. So, again, if he demonstrates these behaviors that are thief-like, then Lamaisi can be judged as a Ben Sora or Mora. So the Gemara goes back to Rabba, Rav Hosef, Termitar Vaihu. So say Rabbi and Rav Yosef both said that if he ate salted meat, or if he drank wine, yain migito, Rav Yosef means wine right from the press. So if he ate salted meat or drank wine right from the press, ein naase ben sorer umora. Then ultimately, again, he does not become a ben sorer umora. Now Rashi says over here, why not? So we'll say Rashi is almost right across to the left. The Rashi says over here, basar malech v'yayin migito, lo chashivi v'lo mamshech. And we'll say, these are not considered to be chashiva food items, so salted meat is considered to be inferior, and wine from the press is considered to be inferior also. So we'll say, again, the concern over here is twofold. Number one, so the first things we've established is that he only becomes a ben sorer umora if he's engaging in practices that are technically sustainable through a life of thievery. Number two, we're going to see that he only becomes a ben sorer umora if he becomes addicted to types of foods that are, I should say, if he gets involved with the type of food items that are addictive in nature, things that people are mamshich, things that people are drawn after. But apparently, salted meat and wine right from the press are not high-quality items, and therefore we're not concerned that he's going to become addicted to these items, and therefore we need to support this habit through a life of crime. So the Gemara says, Tanan Hasam, so listen to this, it's actually quite interesting. Erev Tisha B'Av. On Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yochal adam shnei tavshilin, v'lo yochal basar lo yishtein. Both say, so we know again, the halach is then Erev Tisha B'Av. This is by the Suda Mafsakes. A person cannot eat two cooked items, nor should he eat meat and drink wine. Both say, just to say something interesting, we look at this and we say, what a strange thing, because our minog is that we're already what? Not eating meat or drinking wine already from Rosh Chodesh Av. So we know again, that is not Medina de Gemara. Medina de Gemara, the prohibition on meat and wine begins at the Sudam of Sekes on Erev Tisha B'Av. Medina de Gemara, one could eat meat and drink wine over the course of the 9 days. Again, we take upon ourselves extra stringencies for the 9 days. So that's the Gemara talking about over here. Really, from the Sudam of Sekes, a person can eat meat and drink wine. Vitana, we learned, Och ava ochel hu basar maliach v'shosia migito. Let's listen to this. At the Sudam of Sekes, you can eat salted meat and drink wine from the press. Why? Because these are considered to be more inferior items. Therefore, you can eat them and drink them even at the Sudam of Sekes. So, Marzeh Basar Maliachat Kama was the definition of salted meat. Am Rabbi Chanina Bar Kahana calls man shu kishlamim. Supposed to listen to this. So the definition of salted meat is meat that has remained in salt for 2 days and one night, like the period of the window of consumption for a carbon shlamim. Once it's sat in salt for 2 days and one night, then by definition it's called salted meat, is considered to be of an inferior state, and you could even go ahead and eat it at the Suda Mafsakes on Erev Tisha B'Av. V'yayin migito. They both say, when is it considered to be wine, ultimately again from the press? Kozman shutoses. As long as it's in the process of fermentation. Ayva tanya, but we learned, yayin toses in bomishim gilui. But we learned that fermenting wine, they both say, is not subject to the issue of gilui mashkin. Gilui mashkin, they both say, refers to the idea that one is not supposed to drink liquids that remain uncovered over the course of the night. Remember again, this was a takanas chazal out of a concern of snake venom. Snake venom, interestingly enough, a concern that ultimately a snake may come, inject its venom into the liquid, and ultimately, again, chas v'shalom, cause sakana. But apparently, again, the snakes don't come to fermenting wine. But come to sisa. So we'll say how much, at what point in time is it considered to be yain tov? Says shlosha yomim, 3 days from the pressing. Hachamai. So we'll say, so the question is, how do we apply these criteria to ben sora umora? So the Gemara says, hasa mishum simcho calls machu kishlamim nami ispe simcho. So we'll say, when it comes to Erev Tisha B'Av, the idea is you're not allowed to eat anything that engenders simcha. Therefore, again, as long as the meat has not sat in salt for the period of consumption of shlamim, i.e., for 2 days and one night, then such meat will still cause simcha. Hacham yishum imshuchihu. We'll say here by ben soru mora, what we are concerned is if the ben soru mora eats things that are addictive in nature, in other words, that he'll be drawn after. Ubechol shehu lo mimshech. So we'll say, interestingly enough, if the meat has sat in salt for any amount of time, apparently, again, it becomes less desirable, and we're not concerned that the ben sorar umora is going to be drawn, the child is going to be drawn after that, become addicted to this, and have to resort to a life of crime to support this habit. The yayin ad mem yom. Wine, Rabbi Osai, up to 40 days. So up to 40 days, ultimately, again, it's still considered to be yayin. Tosis, fermenting wine, and therefore, up to 40 days, it's considered to be non-habit forming. Therefore, Rabbi Osai, Elokha, the Ma'isef, the Ben Surah, Remora, eats meat that was steeped in salt for any amount of time, or wine within the first 40 days after it's been pressed, then Lamaisa, these are considered to be non-habit forming items. We're not concerned the Ben Surah, the child, called Kenel Ben Surah Mora, the young boy is going to be drawn after this, and therefore he does not become Ben Surah Mora. So we'll say the Gemara now talks a little bit about wine. Amar Rav Chanan, Lo Nivra Yain Ba'olam, Ela Lenachim Avelim, Ulashalim Schalir Shana. This is actually quite amazing. So Rav Chanan said, wine was only created to console mourners and to give reward to the wicked. So what does this mean? So remember, we saw from our Moed Katan days, he used to have a very interesting practice by Talmudic funerals. After the Levaya, the Avelim would come back, after the Kvura, excuse me, after the burial, and they would be given a Kos Shel Tanchumin. So literally a cup of consolation. So what's the Kos Shel Tanchumin? Literally, it was a huge cup of wine. And the Avelim would be encouraged to essentially, drink it. To mamish finish the cup. And what was the goal of this? It wasn't to inebriate them, but the goal was to take the edge off of the pain. So the Gemara saying is that the Ribon Shom created alcohol to be able, created wine, to be able to take the edge off the pain of the Avelim. On the flip side, Ulashalim Schal Rishayim, and to give joy to the Rishayim in this world, and therefore to give them their reward. In other words, even Rishayim do good things. So Ribon Shom gives the Rishayim their reward through what? Through wine. So Rasha has a glass of wine, he gets Hana, that's his Schar. Shnei Amar, Tinu Shechar Le'oved, V'yayin Le'marei Nefesh. As the Pasuk Yimishlei says, Tinu Shechar Le'oved, give intoxicating beverage Le'oved, to the one who is lost. So the Gemara over here understands that to be a reference to the Rasha, V'yayin Le'marei Nefesh, and give wine to the one who is bitter of soul. In other words, that's the Avel. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Ma'i Dechsev Alter Yayin Ki Yisadam. What does it mean when the Pasuk says, literally translated means, do not look at wine because it makes you red. Alter yayin shemadim pneim shorsham olam hazeh umalbim pneim leolam haba. Literally means do not look after, which means do not long after wine that makes the face of the wicked red in this world. Meaning, so the wicked drink it, they become very happy in this world, but yet again they become pale in the world to come. Recognizing that they got reward for their mitzvos through the benefit of wine in this world, but ultimately again they are judged, they become pale with judgment in the world to come. Rava Amar Rava says, Atir yayin ki yisodam, Atir yayin shacharisodam. Do not get caught up in wine, for its end is blood. We'll say, what does that mean? That a person drinks wine, or too much wine, they could get themselves into an incredible amount of trouble. Ultimately, again, they could end up doing things which Chas v'Shalom would carry with them, a din of Misa. Rav Kana Ramiksiv, Rav Kana contrasts the Psukim. Pasuk says, Tirosh, Vikarinon, I'm sorry, I should say differently. Ksiv, Tirash. So we'll say, when you look at that word, you can vocalize it as Tirash with a shin. Vakarinan Tirosh. But we go ahead and we read it ultimately again, Tirosh. So we'll say, what's the difference between Tirash and Tirosh? Zacha, this is actually very interesting. Zacha na'aseh rosh. We'll say if a person uses wine properly, they can become a rosh, they can become a leader. Lo zacha, if a person uses wine inappropriately, na'aseh rash. They could become a pauper. So we'll say, what does this mean? What does this mean? So we'll say, the idea over here is wine, if used properly, could open the heart of a person in a good way, can make a person receptive to the brachas in life, can make a person receptive to different ideas, make a person open up a person's heart and mind to different forms of Torah, different forms of knowledge. So if used correctly, tirosh, it can make them a rosh. If used inappropriately, tirash, it could impoverish. So they want to go down to Rava, Ramiksiv. Ramiksiv. It says, Rava, Ramiksiv, Yismach, Vikarina, I should say, Ksiv, Yishmach, Vikarinan, Yismach. So what does this mean? Zocha, Mesamcho. If a person knows how to use wine properly, you can make him a simcha, lo zacha, but if he uses it inappropriately, mishamamehu, it can ultimately destroy him. Vahainu da amarav, and this is what Rava said, Chamra vereichani pikchin. I attribute my wisdom to what? To wine and to good sense. Good S-S-C-E-N-T. Right? To go out in good smell. So we'll say, what does that mean? So Rav says that I attribute my greatness to the wine I drank and to the besamim that I smelled. And we'll say, what does that mean? That's the source of Rav's greatness. So we'll say it's an incredible use. What Rav is saying is like this, that what makes great people great, you know, it's very easy in life to live in the extremes. It's very easy to say everything is aser, and it's very easy to say everything is mutter. So great wisdom comes when a person learns the art of moderation. So moderation essentially teaches us that you could enjoy many, many, many beautiful things in this world as long as you enjoy them responsibly. So Rava says, I attribute my greatness to my ability to enjoy and to experience the world in proper moderation. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amrav Amram Breid Rav Shem Baraba Amrav Chanina Mai Dichsev. So we'll say here the Gemara is going to darshan an incredibly interesting pasuk from Mishlei. So the pasuk says, Lemi Oy, right? Who is the one who cries out woe? Lemi Avui. Well, again, both Lashonos of Tzaakov crying out. Lemi Medanim. Who is the one ultimately, again, who has pleasures in life? Lemi Siach. Lemi Pitzaim Chinam. Who is the one who cries out? Who is the one who has unnecessary wounds? Lemi Chachlilos Einayim. Who is the one who has redness of the eyes? Lema'acharim alayayin, to those who go ahead and spend a lot of time with wine. Leboim lach gormi masach, to those who go ahead and try to seek out fine wines. What does this mean? Ki asa ravdimi amri b'mar rava, haikra, this is when it comes to this pasuk, man didarish limiresha l'seifa medrish, the one who darshens it, Rabbi said, from beginning to end, darshens it appropriately. U'miseifa l'resha medrish darish, and the one who goes ahead and darshens it from the end to the beginning, also darshens it properly. So we'll see what's happening over here. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. It's the last short line of Rashi. Medrash. So we'll say, so remember again, the Gemara says this pasuk can be darshened from the beginning to the end. It can also be darshened from the end to the beginning. So the one who darshened it from the beginning to the end, darshened it correctly. Look at Rashi. Last short line, Medrash. Rashi says, Nidrash mashmu'use yafe v'achi kamar. Lemi kol eila. We'll say, who is the one in life who has all of these problems? Lema acharim ala yayin. Leboim lach kormi masach shechokrim lehechan ayayin atov. How much? So we'll say, what the Gemara is saying over here is, if you darshen it from beginning to end, what the pasuk means is the following. Who is the one who's always crying eye? Who is the one who has injuries? Who is the one who has redness of eyes? He is the one who abuses his wine, who abuses his alcohol. If a person spends his life seeking out good wine, he's going to suffer in all kinds of things. The one, look at the second wide line in Rashi. But you can also dash in this pasuk from the end to the beginning. And how do you do that? Nidrash mashmu'usa yafevachi kamar l'miyeshlo oy vavoy v'siach. So we'll say, if you dash in it backwards, we'll say, the way you would say is the following. You would say, for the one who cries out in pain, which is a reference to the Avel, ultimately, again, he is the one ultimately who should avail himself of wine. Furthermore, who is the other one? We'll say, this goes back to what we said before, that who did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create wine for? He created wine for the mourners and for the Rishayim. For the mourners to go ahead and take the edge off their pain,
and for the Rishayim ultimately to what? To give them reward for their mitzvos in this world. So Bosai, if you darshan the Pasuk from the end to the beginning, then the Pasuk's making reference ultimately again to the Avelim and to the Rishayim. Fine. Over Galilah. So excuse me, Darish over Galilah. Yud Gimel Vavin Nam Rubi Yaina. This is actually an amazing piece of Gemara. So over, this is the guy's name. Over the Galilean, over Galilah, Darsh in the following idea. There are 13 Vavs by Boine. This is by the episode of Noach. The Pasuk says, Vayachal Noach Isha Dama Vayita Keren Vayishtimin Ayayin Vayishkar Vayiskal Basoch Ohalo. So I say, the Pasuk says, Vayachal Noach Isha Dama. So Noach, the man of the earth. Now, Vayachal could either mean he began or he profaned himself. And what did he do? He planted a vineyard. He drank from the wine. He became intoxicated. And then, Rabbi said, Vayiska Basochalo means he became uncovered in his tent. Vayarcham Avi Kenan es Ervas Aviv. So Cham, the father of Kenan, saw the nakedness of his father. Vayagi the Shneachav, he told his two brothers, Bachutz, outside of the tent. Vayikach Shem v'Yefes es Asimlo. So Shem and Yefes took the cloak. Vayasimu al Shchem Shnem. They put it on their shoulders. Vayelchu Acharonis. They went backwards into the tent of their father in order not to see his nakedness. Vayichasu es Ervas Avihem. They covered the nakedness of their father. Upnehem. And ultimately, again, they looked away. So what happens? Vayikatz Noach Mieno. It was all the pasuk. Noach woke up. Meaning that the effects of the wine wore off. Noach woke up. Vayeda is asher asa lo b'no hakatan. And he realized what Cham, his youngest son, had did to him. So, now the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly did Cham do to Noah. To Noach, excuse me. Ravu Shmuel. So, Ravu Shmuel said the following. Chad Amar. Ravu Shmuel. Chad Amar Sarso. So, one opinion says that Cham castrated Noach. Rabbi said, now why would Cham castrate Noach? So we'll say this goes to a deeper narrative, which is that Cham did not want Noach having any more children. Why not? Because Rabbi said the children of Noach understood that they were going to divide up the world amongst themselves. Cham apparently did not want to have to divide his portion of the world anymore. So he castrates his father, no more offspring. V'chad Amar Rovo. The other opinion says that he actually raped his father. Mandamar Sarso, so the one who says that he castrated his father, Mitoksha Kilkalo Berevi, Kalalo Berevi, since Cham prevented his father from having any more, from having a fourth son, therefore Cham's fourth son was cursed. Remember again, who was Cham's fourth son? Kenan. Right, so Kenan was cursed ultimately again to be Avadim. Uman Amaravo, the one who says that he violated his father, Gamar Vayar Vayar, he makes Xer Shava. What's the Xer Shava? Ksiv Hacha Vayar Cham Avi Kenan, it's Es Ervas Aviv. It says over here that Cham saw the Erva of his father, Uksiv Hasman, it says by Shechem and Dina, Vayar Osa Shechem Ben Chamor. And there it says that ultimately, again, Shechem ben Chamor saw Dina. And just like Shechem violated Dina, so too, again, Cham violated his father. Bishlam l'man damer serso, mishumachi kalo berevi. So I say, ultimately, again, I understand, according to the opinion, it says that Cham castrated his father, Sa'ayan, and prevented him from having a fourth son. That's why Noach curses Cham's fourth son. Right? So I don't. But according to the one who says that Cham violated his father, so why does Noach Dafka curse Cham's fourth son? Just curse Cham himself. To which the Gemara says, "Ha v'ha havi." To which the Gemara says, "It was according to Mandam who says that Cham violated his father. He didn't just violate his father; rather, he violated him and what? And he also castrated him. He did both to him." So the pasuk says that Noach, the man of the earth, profaned himself, and he planted a vineyard. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Okva, Amar Li Mar Okva, Amar Rav Zakai, Amar Li Hakadosh Baruch Hu LeNoach. God says to Noach, Noach, Halo Hayelach Alumol Me Adam Arishon. Why didn't you learn the lesson of Adam Arishon? Because what did Adam Arishon say? Shelo Garam Lo Ela Yayin. People say, how did Adam Arishon get himself into trouble? Adam Arishon got into trouble with wine. So this is actually very interesting. According to this approach of the Gemara, Adam Harishon's sin was the result of wine. So what does this mean? So the Gemara says, Kiman da'amar, Also, Ilan Sha'achlo Mimeno Adam Arishon Gefen Haya. Because I will say, some, according to Gemara, reflects the opinion that what? That the tree from which Adam Harishon ate, I will say, was not really a tree at all, but was rather a what? Was a vine. Was a vine. Adam Harishon ate grapes. So, which Chazal are interpreting ultimately to mean he partook of wine. This sanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, Osa Ilan Sha'acha Adam Amen Arishon Gefan Haya. So I say, because again, Rabbi Meir says that the tree from which Adam Arishon partook was in fact Gefan, was in fact ultimately again wine, was grapes. Amen days, She'in l'chagdavar she'maybi yilala l'adam ela yayin. Because I will say, there is nothing that brings people to tears like wine. As well says, so what does this mean? But the Gemara, what Rabbi Meir is saying is the following. If you look at which fruit in this world gets people into the most amount of trouble, so everyone will agree that it's what? That it's grapes which produce wine. Therefore, Rabbi Meir is saying it's only logical, therefore, that the pre that got Adam Arishon into trouble must have been what? Must have been gef and must have been grapes as well. Rabbi Yehuda says it was chita, it was grain. Because a child only knows how to speak. A child can only say Abba and Ima after he has his first taste of grain. So I said, the idea is that apparently there's a certain element of das that comes when a child first ingests grain products. Therefore, it can only be that Adam Arishon must have eaten from grain in order to be able to partake of it, in order to make this mistake. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Tena, Ramir says, no, it was a fig. In fact, what Adam Arishon ate was a fig. Shebedavar shekilkolobo niskenu. Because they will say, why? Because the very item with which Adam Arishon made his mistake, that was the item which he fixed himself with. Shene'emar, vayitparu aleitena. This is actually very interesting. Because remember, after Adam and Chava eat from the Eis HaTorah, they realize that they're unclothed. So what did they clothe? What did they cover themselves with? Fig leaves. So according to this approach, all the other trees refused to give them of their leaves. It was only the ta'in of the fig tree that gave them leaves, because the fig tree, since that was the fruit they sinned with, therefore, again, what? Therefore, Allah said, those are the leaves they covered themselves with. So I just say something interesting. If you notice again, but what is not on this list? Apples. Right? It's very interesting, right? Again, for some reason, so there's this conception that Adam and Chava ate from an apple. So where does that come? Now, again, I just want to point out. Now, obviously, the Zohar brings down apples, but the Gemara never records. So where does apples come from? So Bosei actually comes from a very interesting source. That if you look, by the way, in Parshas Todos, so remember again, when Yaakov Avinu comes in to get the brachos from Yitzchak, and he's dressed up as Esav, so what does Yitzchak say to Yaakov? Re'ei, re'ach b'ni k're'ach asoda. So Yitzchak says, wow, what a beautiful scent. You smell like the field. So Rashi HaKadosh says, smell like the field. There's nothing that smells worse than a hunter who's just been slaughtering animals. Rather, if you look at Rashi, what does Rashi say? That Yitzchak Avinu smelled on Yaakov sedei tapuchim. He smelled like an apple orchard. And the reach of Gan Eden is like an apple orchard. So this must come from this idea. The reach of Gan Eden is the reach tapuchim. So somehow, again, this became kind of one with the Adam and Chava narrative. The scent of Gan Eden is reach tapuchim. So somehow it became, over time, understood that Adam and Chava ate from apples. But if you notice, again, from the Gemara, it could be Gefen, it could be Te'ina, it could be Chita, but apples are not on this list. Again, the Zohar quotes apples, but you don't find it in the Gemara. But that's where, at least you know now where it comes from. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara both said this is amazing. Divrei lemuah melech masa, ashe yisartu imus. So we'll say, watch this. The pasuk from Mishlei says, these are the words of Lemuel. Melech masa, ashe yisartu imus. So we'll say, Lemuel is Shlomo HaMelech. Lemuel, Rashi says over here, it's almost right across, Lemuel melech, Shlomo HaMelech, Lemuel ma'asa v'chach masla HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say, so Lemuel is another name for Shlomo. And it says about Shlomo, Asher Yisarto Imo, that his mother afflicted him. Remember, Shlomo's mother is who? Is Batsheva. So the pasuk seems to say that Batsheva literally afflicted her son, Yisarto. So what does this mean? Let's listen to this. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishra Mishra Yochai. Melamed Shekefa Aso Imo Al Ha'amud. So what does it mean? It literally, now we'll say, whether it's literal or figurative, it means that Shlomo's Melech Batsheva tied him to a post, to an Amud. Now we'll say, now why would you tie someone to a post? So remember again, Bizman Gemara, even beforehand, they would tie someone to a post when? When they were going to flog them. When they were going to give them Malkus. So Shlomo Melech's mother tied him to a post as if she was about to flog him. They're both saying that the context of this is the following. Shlomo obviously was magnificently wealthy. And Shlomo Melech begins to overindulge a bit in the pleasures of this world. So a mother is a mother is a mother. I don't care if you're the king. I don't care if you're the gadol hador. I don't even care if you're a doctor. Right? At the end of the day, right, if a mother goes ahead and sees her son acting out, what is she going to do? She's going to give him mussar. So can you imagine this? The mother of the king ties her son to a post as if to flog him. And she gives him this mussar. Amrlo, Mabri, what's happening with you, my son? Mabar bitni, what is happening with you, the son of my womb? Ma bar nidari, what is happening with you, the son of my vows? Ma bri. So we'll say, so what is this going to be? My direction is, Ma bri. What does it mean about Sheva says, what's happening with you, my son? Hakol yodim sha'avichu yarishamayim hava. So Batsheva says to Shlomo, you know, everyone knows that your father, David HaMelech, was a righteous man. So what happens? When they see you overindulging a bit in the pleasures of this world, they're going to say, Akshav yomru ima garmalo. They're going to say what? Well, where does Shlomo get this overindulgence and material pleasures of this world? Can't come from his father, because his father was such a tzaddik. He must come from where? It must come from the mother's side. Right? It must come from Batsheva's side. So Batsheva says, Shlomo, you're going to give me a bad name, because you're not going to hinge your overindulgence on your father. They're going to put it on me. Umar bar bitni. And what does it mean? Ultimately, again, the son of my womb. Let's listen to this. Kala noshim shal beis avich, kevan shemis abros, shuv inon roos pnei hamelech. So this is actually quite interesting. You know, it used to be the custom was that when one of the king's wives would become pregnant, so she would not have relations with the king again until after birth, which is the derech of the kingdom. However, ani dechaki v'nechnasti kedei shiuli ben mizuras umaluban. Batsheva says, even after I became pregnant with you, literally, I pushed my way into the king's chamber. We'll say, according to the Gemara, it appears that it is healthy. We saw this actually in other places as well, that it is very healthy for the child, for a woman to have relations in the 9th month of pregnancy also. In the last trimester of pregnancy. So Batsheva says to her son, you know, all the other wives of the king, once they became pregnant, they didn't have relations with the king anymore. Me, I pushed my way into the king's chamber and had relations with him again in order that my offspring should be healthy. It's a little bit of an awkward conversation to have with a kid. But the point what she's saying over here is, you better not get sidetracked by the overindulgences in life. Because I put a lot into you. I pushed my way into the king's room. I pushed her into the king's life in order that you should ultimately be a healthy child. Uma bar nidri. And you are the son of my vows. So all of the king's wives used to make nidarim. So also remember again, so it's not a new dynamic that people make deals with God. So right, all the other wives of the king would say, God, I'll do this, this, and this. I'll take this on, take that on. If you give me a son who is going to be king. Vanina Dati Batsheva said, you know, I never made a deal with God about having a son who would be king. Instead, Vanina Dati Vamarti, Yeheli Bain, Zoriz, Umemula, Batorabo said, first white line, Vahagun Nevius. So Batsheva says, my son, I never made deals with God that he should give me a future monarch. Instead, I made the Durham that my son should be a tzaddik, that my son should be filled with Torah, that my son should be fit for prophecy, so you better not get sidetracked with the pleasures of this world. Because this is an incredible, incredible use, an incredible musa also. As children, how much akara satov we have to have towards our parents. Arye, you hear this, mamash? You're lucky you can have akara satov right now. So the idea over here is, I want to say, our parents put so much into us. And again, you know, I want to say, it's so easy. Everybody, we live in an age where we're always looking to blame someone for when things don't go wrong. For when things go wrong. And sometimes the easiest people to blame are our parents. My father didn't love me enough, and my mother didn't this. And sometimes, look, you know what? Sometimes parents do really poor jobs. It's absolutely true. Sometimes parents really mess up. Sometimes parents are quite reckless. Usually it's not because they want to be reckless, and it's not because they don't care. It's often because they themselves didn't have the tools, probably as a result of their own upbringing. But I like to think, you know, even sometimes the parents who didn't do the best job, they tried. They tried, and they put in so much effort to try to get their kids on the right path, even though sometimes they make terrible mistakes. It's about Sheva saying to Shlomo, my dear son, you have no idea how much effort I put into you. You have no idea how much I try to make sure that you, I don't care if you're king or not king, but how much I put into you to make sure that you're going to be righteous, you're going to be a tzaddik, you're going to be good. Don't mess it up. Don't get sidetracked with the pleasures of this world. So the pasuk goes on. Alamalachim. So we'll say, this is again in Mishlei. Al lemalachim lemuel. Al lemalachim sheso yayin lerozdim eishechar. So we'll say, so what does this mean? I lost the place. Al lemalachim lemuel. Al lemalachim shasi. Al lemalachim amrulo. Malacha eitz lemalachim sheso sim yayin umishtakrim. V'omrim lama lanu kel. So Bathsheba says, we'll say third wide line. Bathsheba says to Shlomo, why do you frequent the kings who drink a lot of wine, and when they become inebriated, they say, who needs God? Why? So what Bathsheba, so can you imagine this? What Bathsheba is saying to her adult son, the king, the Melech Yisrael, the most powerful monarch in the world at his time, is what? I don't like your friends. I don't like the people you're hanging around with. Right? Why are you hanging around with those guys? Those guys, they drink too much, right? And when they drink, they get all caught up in their own power and their own prowess, and they say, "Who needs God?" Incredible. Or the rosnim eshechar, misha kol rose giluyim lo yishtai v'yishtaker. So she says to him, "Or the rosnim eshechar to the one, you Shlomo, who knows all this, who knows all the secrets of the world, right? Yishtai v'yishtaker. You should go in and drink wine and get inebriated." Ikadami, others say, Misha kol rosnim olam mashkim lepischo. You Shlomo, who the ones who know the secrets of the world, which Rashi points out to the members of the Sanhedrin, you Shlomo, who knows all the secrets of the world, excuse me, for whom all those who know the secrets of the world, i.e. the members of the Sanhedrin, who come to your door, yishtayim v'yishtaker, should you go ahead and drink wine? So she's giving him some significant mussar. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, minayim shechazu Shlomo v'hodu le'imo. How do Shlomo HaMelech said, Mom, you're right. Right at the end of the day, how do we know that he said, okay, he accepted the mussar of his mother, and he did tshuva. D'chsev, goes over here, the pasuk, ki bar anochi mi'ish, for the binas adam li. Shlomo HaMelech said, sometimes I'm even more base than the most basic man, and I didn't have proper wisdom. What does it mean that I'm even less? Like Barba says, Lashon Beer. I lack wisdom even less than the most basic man. Who is the Ish? Dechsev, Minoach. Dechsev, Vayochal Noach Ish Ha'adama. Shlomo says, I'm committing the same mistakes of Noach. Noach's mistake, Rav Osai, was when rebuilding the world, what's the first thing he planted? He planted a vineyard. Right? Why? Out of all the things he could have planted first, he planted a vineyard. Shlomo says, I didn't even learn the lesson of the Ish. V'lo binas Adam li, and I didn't even learn the lesson of Adam. Who is that? Ze Adam Arishans. Because I must remember, according to this approach of the Gemara, both for Adam and Noach, their undoing was wine. So Shlomo Melech says, how could it be that I didn't even learn the basic lessons of humanity? Humanity was undone two times, once by Adam and once by Noach. How? I will say, through grapes. Ultimately, again, through wine. Shlomo Melech says, I run the risk of allowing myself to be undone in the very same way. So he was Mekabel, the Mosar of his mother. Incredible. We'll say back to Ben Sora Mora. Achal b'chaburas Mitzvah. So remember, again, the Mishnah said that if the Ben Sora Umora ate meat and drank wine, but he did it, let's say, as part of a Sudas Mitzvah or Bechaburas Mitzvah with the Chevra who were engaged in some kind of Mitzvah, then he does not become a Ben Sora Rumora. Amar Yavo, Eino Chayiv, Ach Yochal Bechaburas Shekulu Svikin. Shav Yavo says, he only becomes a Ben Sora Rumora if he eats in the company of Bosai Svikin. Bosai Svikin are people who are not good. Not good, right? Empty people. Hai, Vahanan, Tanan, People learned in the Mishnah that if he ate in a chaburas mitzvah, he does become a ben sora mora. Time of the mitzvah. It seems to be the reason that he's not a ben sora mora, what Rabbi says, because again, it's a sudas mitzvah. Halav mitzvah, but if it's not a sudas mitzvah, afagav v'lo kulo srikin, then it seems to be again that he can become a ben sora mora even if not all of the people are bad. Hakamashalon the afagav v'kulo srikin kevan de mitzvah ka'asik lo mimshach. Rabbi says it's actually quite beautiful. What the Mishnah is coming to teach us, Rabbi says, is the following: that even if this boy is eating his stolen meat and his stolen wine in the company of really, really bad people, but it happens to be that what? They're at a sudas mitzvah. We're not concerned that he's going to become a ben sora mora. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because since the prohibited consumption is taking place in the context of a mitzvah, we're not concerned that he's going to be drawn after a life after crime. We'll say that this is actually an amazing story if you think about it. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Hakamash Malon, it's right across in Rashi. Masnisin, dafilu kulo srikin, kevon de ichbor hashta le mitzvah, pater, ol the olam dino de ben sora mora, eno ela bechaburasin. Listen to this, I'm saying. We're only concerned that the boy is going to become ben sora mora when he's eating with a bad chevra, and they're not eating for the purpose of a mitzvah. But if it's a bad chevra, let's like imagine this scene. Let's say he's with a whole group of Rishayim, but they happen to be at a siyum. Now he's eating stolen meat and stolen wine. Or I should say, he's eating meat and wine that he purchased with stolen funds from his parents, but he's at a siyum, so then he can't become ben sora mora. We'll say, why not? Because since he's participating in a mitzvah, even though, again, the food that he's eating is from funds that he stole from his parents, we're not concerned that he's going to be led after a life of crime. We'll say, what do you see from here? You see the power of surrounding yourself with positive influences. That here, even though, again, he's with bad guys, and he's eating meat that was purchased with stolen monies from his parents, but because it's by a siyum, I'm using a siyum as an example, because it's by a mitzvah, the power of the mitzvah has the ability to draw him towards the light, so to speak. We'll say it's an incredible, incredible mussar that sometimes when we have difficulty changing ourselves, even if you can't change yourself, the best thing you could do is what? Surround yourself with positive influences. Surround yourself with positive people. Put yourself in the right context, because by definition, our surroundings influence who and what we are on the inside. Sometimes I can't change myself on the inside, but if I change my influences, if I change those things around me, ultimately, again, those seep in and have a fundamental impact on who and what I am. An incredible, incredible Gemara. Let's go by it. Achol be'ibarachodesh. Similarly, again, Abosai, if he took part in the Ibarachodesh meal, lememra, the basra v'yayin masko. Now, Abosai, now, the Mishnah seems to indicate that when they would declare a month to be an Ibarachodesh, in other words, a month of 30 days, they would add on an extra day, they would have a su'uda. So you're saying then that this su'uda, the Ibar Chodesh su'uda, was meat and wine. For a time, we learned, in Omen La Ela Bepas Dagan Vekitnis. In fact, Rabosai, the menu of the Ibar Chodesh meal was quite simple. It was Pas Dagan, grain bread, and legumes. This was the meal. Hakamashlan. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? This teaches us, Afagav Dein Omen La Ela Pas Vekitnis. We'll say, even though those who were at the meal only ate grain, bread, and legumes, v'iyu asik basr v'yayin v'achal, and this boy brought up basr and yayin to eat from this meal, to eat at this meal, kevon de b'mitzvah ka'asik lo mamshich. Rabbi says, same yisurah as before. Even though, again, the menu for the Ibar Chodesh meal was grain, bread, and legumes, and this boy is bringing what? He's bringing meat and wine, and not just only meat and wine, but what? Meat and wine that was purchased for money that he stole from his parents. But since he's eating it in the context of a mitzvah meal, we're not concerned that he's going to become a ben sora rumora, because since he's enveloped by the mitzvah, since he's enveloped by the kedusha of the meal, so even though, again, he's eating prohibited items, nevertheless, we don't assume he's going to become ben sora rumora. But say the power, again, of positive influences. Ten rabbanon. In olim bibarachodesh pachos me'asar b'nei adam. I will say, furthermore, again, the Braisa tells us that when declaring ultimately again an Ibra Chodesh, you do not in Olin. We'll say in Olin is Lashon of go up, because remember again, many times throughout history they would meet in attics, right? The Gemara talks about the Aliyah. So you don't bring up less than 10 people. Ve'in Olin ma ella bepas dagan ve'kitnis. Furthermore, again, the menu is quite simple. You only bring up grain, bread, and legumes. Vein olin lo ela lo ori buro. Furthermore, again, you only go up rabose on the evening of the extra day. Vein olin lo bayom ela balayla. And you don't go up by day, you only go up by night. I vatanya ein olin lo balayla ela bayom. But we learn you can only go up by night and not by day. Kedam Rabbi Chiya, as Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said, Libnei, as Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said, Achrifu va'olu, achrifu poku, ki'echi d'leshamu b'cho inshi. Rabbi Abba used to say to his sons that when they were participating in this meal, this su'uda, for the Ibra Chodesh, he would tell them, achrufi va'olu, go up ultimately again while it's still light outside, and come back down before the sun comes up. In other words, he would say, go up when it's still light so that people will see you're going up. If people see you going up, then what? Then they'll realize that you're going up for the su'uda to celebrate or to mark the additional day, and come back down before the sun comes up so that people will see you coming down. In other words, he would tell his kids, go up to the meal and come down from the meal at a time when people will see you, so that people will know ultimately again that an additional day has been added to the month. Well, so let's just go a little bit weiter. Achol Ma'aser Sheni Yerushalayim. So remember again, if the Ben Sora Remora ate Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim, ultimately again it can become Ben Sora Remora. Kevan Dechi Arche Hu Ka'achil Le Lo Mimshach. Because they both say, even though what he's eating is Aser, but since it is a normative consumption, therefore, we are not concerned that he's going to be drawn to a life crime. In other words, what you begin to see over here is that in order for a child to be become a ben sora remora, the act of consumption itself has to be something that is absolutely unequivocally illegal and totally out of the norm. If somehow it occurs within the act of what we'll call normal consumption, he can't become ben sora remora, even though the items that he's eating are bought with stolen funds from his parents. Similarly, again, if the ben sora remora eats the velus, treifos, shkatz, and v'ramasim, so non-kosher food items or creepy crawly things, Rava, achol basar of inonase ben sora remora. Let's listen to this. Rava says, if he eats chicken, right? So if he steals money to purchase chicken, he doesn't become a ben sora remora. In other words, Rava says, it seems to be, the logic is, no one's drawn after chicken, right? No one goes in and is drawn to a life of crime, right? To support a chicken habit, right? It's a meat, okay, a person getting into a chicken habit, no one has. I've learned on Tabo, we learned, ochom of achom avelos of trefo, shkatsim v'ramasim, inonasim en sora remora. But yet we learned in the Mishnah that if he goes in and he steals money and he eats the avelos of trefo, shkatsim v'ramasim, that's come in sora remora. So what it sounds like, the reason he doesn't come in sora remora is why? Because these are non-kosher items. I could infer from that, I'll say that's what? That if he stole money to eat kosher food items, even fowl, right, even chicken, that he could become a ben sora remora. Let's listen to this. Kitnan nami masnisin lahashlim. Or, I'll say, listen to this. Chicken can play a role. When does fowl play a role? I'll say lahashlim. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, lahashlim, it's a 2, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom on Rashi. Last one on the Hashlim. Shafilu achal tartimar basar chaser kizayis nebehema tohora. Vishlim ala tartimar mi basar ofos tmeim pater mishum de inoshame bekolosh makum de kavasi bitar mechad. But listen to this. When could fowl play a role? It will say, in order for a boy to become ben sora mora, he has to steal enough money to purchase a tartimar of meat. Let's say Rabbi say he steals money and he purchases a tartimar of meat, but it's a tartimar minus a kezias. But he fills up that last kezias with what? With chicken. So we'll say under those circumstances he can become a ben sora remora. So if he's a tartimar of chicken, that doesn't make him a ben sora remora. But if he eats a tartimar minus a kezias of meat and he fills in that last kezias with chicken, then enoch inami, that can make him a ben sora remora. We'll say one more line, then we'll stop. Achol davar shu mitzvah u'dvar avera. But say if he goes in and he eats something that is a mitzvah and a dvar avera, what does this mean? Dvar mitzvah tanchumi avelim. So dvar mitzvah ultimately again would be tanchumi avinim. We'll say, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi over here, le'esuyeh tanchumi avinim, da'afakav de'techan terabana ba'alma havi, timirei sha'ava amina chabura mitzvah, haynu kanam sho'ochlin kodshon psachim. So we'll say, so dvar mitzvah be tanchumi avinim. Dvar aveira, tanya tzivu. So we'll say, dvar mitzvah would mean, let's say again, he participates in the su'udah of tanchumi avinim. He participates in the meal of consolation for the mourners. Or dvar aveira is, he eats on a tanya tzibur. So we'll say, either way, these things will not make him a ben sora mora. At time of my, what's the reason? Amikra, einenu shomea bekolenu. Bekolenu, v'lo bekolo shamakom. That Rabbi will say, ultimately, again, a child only becomes a ben sora mora when what? When he disobeys, when it's clear that his issue is parental disobedience. But when his issue is what? Divine disobedience. And then Rabbi will say, that's problematic, of course. But that does not make him a ben sora umura. A ben sora umura is a very specific framework of prohibition where there's a clear and blatant disregard for human authority, for his parents. But again, if the blatant disregard is for God, there are other issues that come up. There are other things you have to deal with, but that is not the Torah ben sora umura. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up a Meretz Hashem here tomorrow morning. Shkoyach.